Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Lamed Hey. We left off at the Mishnah and daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. So let's see the Mishnah. Yesh Chayev Al Maisa Shoro Patra Al Maisa Atzmo. Sometimes a person is going to be Chayev for something his Shor does, but if he were to do the same thing, he would be Patr. Patra Al Maisa Shoro V'Chayev Al Maisa Atzmo. Sometimes a person is going to be Patr for something his Shor does, but if he does that same thing directly himself, he would be Chayev. Ketzad, how so? Shoro Shabiyesh. Pater, v'husha b'yesh chayiv. So we're first going to discuss the second possibility, a case where someone is going to be pater al maisa shoro, but chayiv al maisa atzmo. So if his shor embarrasses someone, so his shor doesn't pay boshas, the owner of the shor doesn't pay a boshas payment for something that the shor did. V'husha b'yesh, but if the owner embarrassed somebody, so he knows what it means to embarrass someone, so he's going to pay boshas payment for embarrassing somebody. Shoro shesimese in avdo v'hibel shino, Pater. If the shor blinds the eye of an eved or knocks out his tooth, so the owner does not have to free the eved. But if the owner directly blinds the eye of his eved or knocks out the tooth of his eved, so he's going to be chayiv to free the eved. That's one of the halachos, that the eved goes free automatically when you do one of these things to the eved. Shoro shechaval ba'aviv v'imo chayiv. Now we're going in the reverse. Now we're explaining things that if the shor does it, you're chayiv, but if you do it yourself, you're going to be pater from the money. Now both of these cases, where the shor doing it, you're chayiv, and you doing it, you're pater from the money, are cases where the reason you're pater from the money is because you did something much worse, where you're going to be receiving a much worse punishment. So the money, so we apply the concept of kam le b'drabi minei, that when you're chayiv two onshim, we only give you the more severe one, and not the less severe one. So shor shechav bav v'imo, if a shor is chovel, makes wounds the owner of the shor's mother or father, chayiv, the owner of the shor is going to have to pay the monetary payment to compensate his parents. V'hu shechav bav v'imo pater, but if a guy himself directly wounds his mother or his father, he's going to be pater from paying them because he's chayiv misa. So since he's chayiv misa, he's going to be pater from any payment. If a shor lights something on fire on Shabbos, a stack of hay on fire on Shabbos, the owner of the shor is going to be chayiv to pay the owner of that stack of hay however much it costs for the damage is done. But for who shehidlik asakadosh b'Shabbos, pater, b'mreishu mischayiv b'nafsho. But if the guy himself, the owner of the shor, burns the stack of hay on Shabbos, so he's going to be pater from any sort of payment because he's chayiv misa anyway. So since he's chayiv misa for Shabbos because he was mechal Shabbos, so he's going to be pater from the payment. Now the Tosos discusses over here whether we really need each of these halachos to be stated, meaning is there any chiddush being taught when you say that a shor that's mevayesh is pater? So Tosfos over here points out that the truth is not only shor shabiyesh, tsar, ripoy, sheves, tmei vlados, all of those things, a shor is going to be pater if the shor does. But we don't mention it because all of that is mentioned in hachovel, in a mishnah later on. So says Tosfos, but you know what? Boshas is also mentioned later on in Achovel that it's pater. So it can't be that the chiddush of our Mishnah is that if a shor is mevayish, somebody is pater. So Tosfos says, no, the chiddush of the Mishnah is not to tell me these halachas about the shor. The chiddush is in the contrast. The chiddush is that even though the shor is pater, meaning we know there's a din that a person is chayiv in boshas, and we know there's a din that a shor is pater from boshas. But putting it together is the chiddush. That the when you put those two dinim together, so you see the contrast. It shows you the contrast that even though when a person himself does it, he's going to be chayiv. If his shor does it, he's going to be pater. And he says the same is true. Tosfos says v'chein shor shehidlik ha'gadish itzrich lahachi k'diyisa b'gemara del milsachrit del itzrich the pshita de chayiv delin shor mali shabbos mali chol. Meaning the fact that when your shor lights someone else's stuff on fire, that you're going to be chayiv, even though it's Shabbos. That's not something we need our mission to tell me. It's obvious. When it comes to a shor doing damage, who cares whether it's Shabbos or a weekday? The shor is always going to, the Baal shor is always going to be chayiv for damage done by his shor. Why do we mention it? Because again, we're contrasting it with a person lighting something on fire, where since he's going to be chayiv misa, he's going to be pater. However, there's one exception. Tos says there is one case of Shor in our Mishnah that is a Chiddush, that we would not have otherwise known had our Mishnah not told me it. Aval Shoru Shasimas Ein Avdo Itzrich Sha'afpi Sha'ba'atzma Chayv B'Shor Pater To Halo Ashmin B'Shum Mishnah. That we don't have any Mishnah to tell me. We don't have any Mishnah that tells me that if a Shor is Misame, if a Shor blinds the Eved, that the Eved does not go free. That's something that's only a Chiddush of our Mishnah. But all of the other halachas relating to a Shor are not a Chiddush of our Mishnah that we know from elsewhere, and the only reason that I mentioned in our Mishnah is to emphasize the contrast between the Shor doing the damage and the person doing the damage. Okay, says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Avok, Hamed Rabbi Yochanan, Kol HaMakalkim Ptur Nchutz Michavul Mavir. In general, Makalkel is going to be Pater when it comes to Malach HaShabbos. Your Pater, if you do Malach is defined as a constructive activity, and creative constructive activity, and Makalkel is a destructive activity. It's a Chisar in Malach HaSmachsheves. There are a lot of rules that play into Malach HaSmachsheves. Is a very broad concept in Hilchos Shabbos. But in order for a person to be chayiv in Hilchos Shabbos, so you need a melechas machsheves asra Torah. The Torah only asks melechas machsheves. Now, how do you define in English the term melechas machsheves? It's nearly impossible. It means that there's some high level of thought or kavana that goes into the melacha. But there's no easily defined term because there are a lot of concepts that relate to melechas machsheves. For instance, Dover Sheinu Miskaven is an issue of melechas machsheves. Right, if you hold Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter, so you're going to hold that it's a chisaron in melachas machsheves. If I don't have kavana, it's chisaron melachas machsheves. Mekalkel is also an issue of melachas machsheves. Since I'm not doing something in a constructive way, I'm being purely destructive, so I'm not going to be chayiv for it. So, and in general, all mekalkelin in Hilchos Shabbos, whenever you do any melacha in a destructive way, it's going to be pater with two exceptions. Chutz michovel umavir, except for malachos that are defined as destructive malachos. Chovel, mavir. Chovel means when you wound somebody. So to be chovel somebody, that's by definition destructive. Mavir, you light something on fire. Lighting something on fire is by definition destructive. So obviously the Torah is megalat me in those two places. Says Rabbi Avahu that even though they're destructive, nevertheless, it's still going to be chayiv. If you look at Rashi, Chutz Michovel Umavir, Kedem Farishtai Mesach Shabbos, Beperika Oreg, what's the Girsa over here? No Girsa, me, the Isrich Kral Lemishri Mila, from the fact that I need a pasuk to tell me that Mila is Mutter on Shabbos, would imply that normally something like that is Aser. Mechal Deshar Chovel Chayiv. That implies that all other chavalos you're going to be chayiv for. That any other wound in a person you're going to be chayiv for, even apparently if it's destructive. Umidas Rachman Estreifas Paskoin B'Shabbos to Mekalkelhu, Mechal de Mekalkel Ba'avara Chayiv. From the fact that the Torah tells me Estreifas Paskoin is Aser to do on Shabbos, even though it is Mekalkel, it's destructive because you're killing the Bas Kohen for her indiscretion. So it's obviously Mekalkel when you're killing a person. So you see that even though it's Mekalkel, for Havar you're going to be Chayiv. So if you just burn something that's a perfectly functional Kli, and you go and you burn it down to make it useless, so you're going to be Chayiv for that. So Amar Leih, Rabbi Yochanan says back to Rabbi Avo, Puk Tani Levra, go teach that somewhere else. Chovel Mavir ain't a Mishnah, because Chovel Mavir is not, there is no such exception about Chovel Mavir, meaning, you're right, Mekalkalin are always Pater. There are no exceptions, though. Chovel Mavir, if you do Chavala and Havara in a destructive way, you're Pater as well. Vimtim Silomar Mishnah, and if you want to say that Chovel Mavir is an exception, so what's a case where you're going to say that you're going to be Chayiv for Chavala, meaning if you're going to say that so the case is going to be Chovel B'Tzarech L'Kalbo, Mavel B'Tzarech L'Afaro. The case where it's going to be considered constructive is Chovel, if you wound in order to get blood because your dog needs the blood for some reason. Mavir B'Tzarech L'Afaro, you burn something because you need the ashes. That's considered a constructive way, right? If you look at Rashi, B'Tzarech L'Kalbo, Davi Mekalkel, Amanas L'Sakin. Even if you're going to say that you're going to be chayiv for mekalkel in chovel, it's only if there's some sort of constructive goal that comes from it. Like you need it for your dog. Fine. So the point is that even if you're going to say that when you're mekalkel you're going to be chayiv, that's on chovel umavir, that's only if there's some tikkun that's going to come out of it. But if it's chovel gomer, if it's kilkel gomer rather, if it's completely destructive, then there's no way you're ever going to be chayiv in Hilchos Shabbos, even by chovel umavir. So Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Shoroshed, because of Kedush B'Shabbos Chayiv, a shor lights a stack of hay on fire on Shabbos, the owner of the shor is going to be chayiv to pay for it, but V'Hushed, because of Kedush B'Shabbos Pater, but if the owner himself had lit the stack of hay on fire, he would be Pater to pay for it, because he's already chayiv Misa for violating Shabbos. V'Katani, Hu Dum Yad Shoro, and the Mishnah apparently contrasts the owner of the shor with his shor. Ma Shoro Delo Kaba Ilei, but that implies, just like a shor doesn't need the ashes, right? It's obvious that the shor doesn't has no kavana to get the ashes out of the fire. He's just being destructive. So the case of the adon, of the man himself doing the burning, it must also be a case where he doesn't need the ashes. And yet, so it's total kilkel, it's completely destructive, yet for katani pater, mivneshu nida menafsho, it still says he's pater, because he's chayiv misa. What do you mean? I thought that if you're mekalkel, you're nachayiv misa. You're nachayiv misa in Hilchos Shabbos. How can you say you're pater from the mammon over here on account of the fact that you're chayiv misa? If you've been totally destructive, you have no need for the ashes whatsoever. You're just burning for fun. It's total kilkel, so you should be pater from a chayiv misa. Right? If you look at Rashi, afunami delokabay lafarum makalkalhu v'katani pater mitashlumin. Alma chiyuv misa ika. So we see that there is a chiyuv misa even in the case of kilkel. So who's this araya against? This is araya against against Rabbi Yochanan, who said that even by chovel umavir you're going to be putter when you're mekalkel. Over here we see you're chayiv when you're mekalkel. Now says Tosos and Dibur Maskel Mashori says Mashma Delo Parach Ela Libid Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara sounds like it's only asking on Rabbi Yochanan, who thinks that by Chovel Umavir Mekalkel is Pater. But Vitema Delo Rabbi Yochanan Nami Tiksha Mashori Delo Tzorich Lugufo Vim Nomer Rabbi Yochanan Mechayv Mekalkel Gomer Lo Bay Tzrich Lugufo Asi Shapir. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan still requires some level of Tikkun, says Tosos. We're going to find later Rabbi Yochanan still requires some level of Tikkun when it comes to Bert Chovel Umavir. He's not going to say that you're going to be chayiv for total kilkul. So Tosfos says it seems that this should have been a kasha on Rabbi Avo as well. But either way, we have a kasha because we see that you're going to be chayiv even though it's kilkul. So says Gemara Lo, Shor Adam Yadidei. Who told you it's kilkul in our Mishnah? Who says that the burning of the thing is with no need whatsoever? Maybe we learn Shor from the guy, Mahu de Kabayle. Just like when the guy himself burns it, it must be a case where he needs it for some reason. Afshor de Kabayle. The way we're contrasting the Shor with the guy is we're saying if each one burns the stack of hay and they need the stack of hay, so then they're going to be if either one burns the stack of hay and they need it, so that's where we say that the shor is going to be chayiv, the guy is going to be patur. The guy is patur because he's chayiv misa, because he needs the stack of hay. Now when we say shoro de kabayle, it's lav dafka that the shor really needs it. The point is we just need we need the Mishnah to be consistent. So if we're going to say that it's a case where the guy needs it, so the equivalent case would be even if the shor needs it. It's hard to talk about a shor needing the ashes, but that's the point, just to make it consistent. So says Mar Shor Hechim Shkachsa, what's a case of a shor needing the ashes? Amr Ravia Hachmaskin Bashar Pikeach, a very smart shor. Sha'al Nashicha Begabo, and the shor has a bite on its back. The Kabayl Malkia, and it needs to wants to put some ashes on it to heal it. So Viganda Bakutva, so it tries to roll it in the ashes. So it goes and burns up, lights a fire so that it could produce ashes, so that it could heal its own wound. The ashes will go and will be therapeutic for the wound of the shor. So that's the case of a shor chacham, a very smart shor, where the shor needs the ashes. Frankly, Mar Minoya Dinan. How do you know that's what the shor's kavana is? Right? That when he's lighting the fire, you know that his kavanah is to make the ashes to heal a boo-boo that he's got on his back. How do you know? You interview the shor. So the Gemara says, no, debasa dekalia kamengandem bekutma. You see what he does. You see, just watch it. After he lights the fire, he goes and he rolls around in the ashes and he puts the ashes on himself. So then you see, obviously, that was his kavanah in lighting the fire. He didn't just think of it after the fire was lit and it turned to ashes. Obviously, that was his kavanah the whole time. Frankly, Gemara, miyika kiagavna, you have such a premeditated shor. Shor was able to think two steps in advance. He's so smart that he's able to figure this out. Gemara says, in absolutely, there's some people are smart, some people aren't. Some shvarim are smart, some shvarim aren't. There's such a thing as a genius shor. Tehu tura dava bei Rav Papa. There was a shor that was by Rav Papa. Dava kiven lechinche. His teeth were hurting him. So what did he do? Ayelu patkil neziyasa v'shasi shichur v'itzi. He went and he opened up a beer barrel. And he dug his teeth into it to because that's therapeutic for the teeth. It makes the teeth feel better. So it was also a very smart shard. Knew what was in there and knew that what was in there was going to make it feel better. So you have such a thing. If a shard could think of that, the shard can prescribe medication for himself and find it. So then you could assume that the shard could do the same with the ashes. Can realize that the ashes can help him and therefore burn something down. In order for the ashes to help him. The Gemara says elsewhere that Rav Papa was a big beer producer. And in general, that was his profession. And part of his hatzlacha was that his beer never went bad. He was able to keep it around for a long time, so he was able to produce large quantities and not worry about what would happen if he didn't sell it. So he was that's why it's no coincidence that it was the shor by Rav Papa's house that found the beer, because there was always beer by Rav Papa's house. Rav Papa was that's what he did. He was the Anheuser-Busch of Babylonia. I don't know about that, but he was a beer producer. So Amr Rabbanan Kamed Rav Papa. The Rabbanan said by Rav Papa, Mimas is Amr Shora Dumya Didei. Can you necessarily say that all the cases of shor we're going with the baseline to try to figure out what the case is, whether the person is having kavanah, not having kavanah? We go with the typical case of what we expect of the person, and then say the shor case lines up with the person case, like we just said over here. Just like the guy is only going to be chayv misa and therefore pater from the mammon if he. He's misakin in some way, if he needs the ashes, so too we're talking about a shor that needs the ashes. So you're going to say that throughout the Mishnah, Valkatani, but it says, shoru shabiyesh pater, vuhu shabiyesh chayiv. We also contrasted a shor that embarrasses with a guy that embarrasses someone. So shoru dumyadidein, skaivin lubiyesh, heichim shkachasa. So when a guy embarrasses someone, he's only chayiv if he has kavanah to embarrass somebody. So how can you say shor dumyadidein? A shor has kavanah to embarrass a person? A shor doesn't have the ability to have kavanah to embarrass a person. Right, that a shor doesn't have, so you can't say shor adam yadidei. So Gemara says no. Kigon sheniskav in the hazik, the shor can have kavanah to damage a person, and when you have kavanah to damage a person, and through that damage you also embarrass the person, so you pay the demei boshes also, not just the money for the busha, so not just the money for the damage. Davar niskav in the hazik, afli sheniskav in the vayish. If you have kavanah to damage a person, even though you don't have kavanah to be mevayish the person, nevertheless, you're still going to pay for the boshes. So in that sense, it's kavanah. You don't need kavanah levayish, you only need kavanah lahazik. Fine, that was one approach to our Mishnah. So again, the Gemara had said that the Gemara had asked Rabbi Yochanan, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that in general when you're makalkel in Hilchas Shabbos you're going to be totally pater, when you're makalkel in Havara and in Chovel you're going to be totally pater? Our Mishnah seems to imply that you're chayiv in those cases, and that's why you're pater from the mammon. So we said no, we're talking about a case where there is some sort of tikkun also. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where there's some sort of tikkun. Now the Gemara is going to give a different answer, totally different answer. Maybe in Echinami makalkel you're totally pater, and even by Havara and even by Chavala. So in our Mishnah, when we're talking about a guy who lights something on fire on Shabbos, and we say he's pater from the mammon because he's mischayev benafsho, the Mishnah sounds like it's saying he's chayev misa for his Hilchas Shabbos discretion, right, for his violation of Hilchas Shabbos, but maybe no, maybe really he's pater for his violation of Hilchas Shabbos because he's only mekalkel. Why then is he pater from the money if he's not going to get killed because of the Hilchah Shabbos? L'chora, there's no kamle b'drabinei. So Rava Amar, Rava answers, Masnisim b'shogeg. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where he did it b'shogeg. He violated Shabbos b'shogeg. Look at the Tanna de Bechizkia, like the Tanna de Bechizkia taught. The Tanna de Bechizkia, Maka Adam, Maka Behema. The Pasuk says, Maka Behema Yishalmena, Maka Adam Yumas. So we compare the two. Ma Maka Behema lo chilakta b'bin shogeg b'meizu 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 b'meizu. Just like when it comes to being maka behema, a human being hurting a behema, we don't distinguish between shogging and mezim miskavin, not miskavin derech ri derech aliyah. He's always going to be chayiv af maka adam. So to maka adam, when you kill a person, lo tachluk bo bin shogig le mezim bin miskavin le shem miskavin derech ri derech aliyah le chayiv mamon le potrum mamon. So in any case that you kill a person, whether you do with kavana, not kavana, meaning when you kill a person without kavana, you're not chayiv misa. Right, but still, when you do b'shogeg, you're not chayv misa. But still, we're still going to say, if you also incurred a monetary chiyuv at the same time that you killed the person, you're going to be pater. I mean, the Tanna Bechizkiya's chiddush is that we're going to say, kam le b'drab minei, even when you're not actually receiving the more severe onesh. Even if the more severe onesh is only in theory, that you would have received it had you had hasra'a, had you done a bikavana, had you had everything fall into place, you would have received the more severe onesh for this violation, for this maisa that had been done under different circumstances, that's enough to exempt you from a chiyuv mamon. It's enough to exempt you from payment. So in our mission as well, when you're mekalkel, ein achinami, you're not going to be chayv in Hilchos Shabbos. But since the maisa that you did, had it not been in a destructive way, had it been for the tzorach of some sort of tikkun, would have been something that you would be chayv misa for under the right circumstances. So now, even though you didn't do it under those circumstances, it's still going to be enough to exempt you from any sort of monetary payment. So that's the point. So Amr le Rabbanan le Rava. So the Rabbanan said to Rava, "Mi matz mukmala b'shogeg v'amnei nidam b'nafsho katani." That's a tough read into the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the reason that you're potter is because nidam b'nafsho, because you're chayiv misa. It's hard to say that we're talking about where you did something b'shogeg when it says b'feirush in the Mishnah that the reason that you're not going to have to pay is because nidam b'nafsho. Nidam b'nafsho means because you're getting killed. So answers more in a hachi kamer. What it means to say is, kivan de b'mezin nidam b'nafsho ve'echidami de kabay la'faro. Since had you done it b'mezid, you would have been nidon b'nafsho. For instance, had you needed the afer, so it would have been some sort of tikkun. So had you done it b'mezid with a tikkun, it would have been nidon b'nafsho. So mainly, even when it's mekalkel, where you're not going to be nidon b'nafsho, you're still going to be patur on the money. We're still going to apply kam lebedramine. If you look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel, Rava Amar, so Rashi explains, the olam masnisin b'delo kabayile la'afaro, that Rav is saying that the Mishnah is talking about a case of total kilkul. You don't need the afer at all. The high de pater mitashlumen, and the reason you're pater from tashlumen over here is lav mishum de la havi bechiv misa, is not because you're actually going to be chayiv misa. Tomas nisan afil b'shogeg nami de leka chiv misa mitukma de pater mitashlumen k'tani bechizkia, because our Mishnah could be talking about even when you're not actually chayiv misa, because even when you do b'shogeg, you're even when you do a violation that's normally chayiv misa b'shogeg, and there's no actual chiv misa, you're still pat from payment because of Tanna Bechizkia. That's the way we explained the Gemara. However, if you look at Tosfos, Masnisin B'shogeg, so Tosfos writes, Pirush B'kuntros to Rava Muki Masnisin to Lobayla Faro, Upatr me also tam Shoshogeg Pater. That Rava is going to say that our Mishnah is dealing with a case where you don't need the ashes, and therefore, since you don't need the ashes, it's total kilkul. And just like when it's not that our Mishnah is dealing with an actual case of shogeg, our Mishnah is dealing with a case where you did it b'mezid, but you did it in a way that's mekalkel. So we're making an equation. We're saying just like Tanna de Bechizkia says that when I do something that normally I'd be chayiv misa for b'shogeg, so mela I'm going to be pater on the mamon, even though I only did it b'shogeg. So just like he says that, so too when I do melacha on Shabbos that normally I'd be chayiv misa for, but I do it in a mekalkel way, I'm doing it b'mezid, but I do it in a mekalkel way, and therefore I'm not chayiv misa, so mela I'm going to be pater on the payment. We're comparing the Tanna de Bechizkia's shogeg to our mekalkel, but they're two different halachos, right? When you do something b'mekalkel, it could be b'mezid, I'm purposely burning something down, but it's just destructive. So we're comparing the two. Says Tosos ve'ein haloshon mashmakein. He says it doesn't seem, that's not what it sounds like from the Gemara. The Gemara sounds like we're somehow saying that our Mishnah is talking about b'shogeg, not that we're comparing the mekalkel in our Mishnah to a shogeg case. There's also a big difference. When I do a malacha b'shogeg, I bring a karban, right? I still did an isur malacha, but if we're saying mekalkel, is putters, because mekalkel is not a malacha at all. Malacha is defined as a certain level of malachas machsheves, of constructive activity. And this is not constructive activity, so it's simply not the definition of a malacha. So mekalkel and shogeg are not at all the same. So says Tosos, Eliyeh Shlom, Masnisim b'shogeg, Tebahamil sa'ashmin, and hu dumir d'shoro, Mashor b'shog af hu b'shogeg, v'afilu hachi pater mitan de'bechizkia. So Tosos says, no, we're not going back to explaining that our mission is talking about total kilkel. We're going back to explain that our Mishnah is talking about b'shogeg, that we say it's hu dumya d'shoro, that just like shor by definition is b'shogeg, because a shor is not so premeditated, so too he is talking about a case of shogeg, and that's why you're going to be pater from the mammon, because even though in a chinami it's a malacha for which you should be chayiv misa, but when you do b'shogeg, and when you do b'shogeg you're not chayiv misa, that's enough to exempt you from a monetary payment. Okay, new Mishnah. Shar shah yirode v'achar shar achar v'huzak. So you see one shar chasing another shar. Shar A chasing shar B. And then next thing you know, you didn't see what happened, but you see that shar B is wounded. You see shar B was obviously hit, was damaged. So obviously, people are going to make assumptions. So ze omer shar chahizik. So the owner of shar B will say, listen, Mr. Shar, owner of shar A, your shar damaged my shar. Obviously, it was chasing after it, and now it's hurt. Obviously, that's what happened. The owner of the mazik of the shar that's accused of being a mazik says, no, we didn't see my shar hit your shar. Probably what happened was they were playing, they were running after each other, and your shar tripped and hit a rock or something, and the rock is what hurt it, but nothing to do with my shar. So amotzi mechaver alav raya. The halacha is, unless we have evidence that shar A hit shar B, so you can't collect any money, because we don't know for sure what happened. Hayushnayim wrote from achar echad, or for instance, you have a case of two shvarim that are running after one shar. Zelmer shar chahizik, zelmer shar chahizik. So we know that one of these shvarim caught up with the victim and hurt it. It was obvious that it wasn't done by a rock, that it was done by one of the shvarim, but they're arguing over which shar did it, meaning the two shvarim that were chasing after the victim were owned by two different people, so each one is claiming that your shar did it. Shneim p'turim na'alachas, they're both pater, because again, you want me to pay? Prove to me that it was my shar and it wasn't my friend's shar. And the friend could say the same thing. But if they both belong to the same guy, so then they're both going to be chayiv. So what does it mean they're both going to be chayiv? The chorot should be, one of them should be chayiv. I should have to pay twice, just because both shvarim belong to the same guy. So that's why Rashi says, mefarish b'gemara. Right? Rashi only does that. That's the rule is, everything in the Mishnah is usually going to be explained in the Gemara. Rashi only says that when there's a problem with reading the Mishnah itself. When you're reading the Mishnah, it just doesn't make any sense. So that's when Rashi will tell you, don't worry, mefarish b'gemara. If reading the Mishnah makes sense, even though the Gemara will change our understanding of the Mishnah, Rashi is not going to tell us mefarish b'gemara, because you know, we could be happy with the way we're reading it now. It's only where we're obviously going to run into trouble, where we're not going to be happy the way we're reading it, that Rashi is going to tell us that. When I was in Karen Biavna, my first year, I was learning with a Chavrusa 6 hours a day, morning Seder, night Seder, and we were going pretty fast. We were learning Gemara Rashi, Tosfos, Rosh Ran, and by the end of Elzman, we were up to Daf Chav, Chav Bey, something like that. So we went to one of the Rebbeim, who was an our Rebbe, to ask a question on the Gemara and Daf Chav, and he said, he got very angry at us that we were all the way on Daf Chav. He said, you're going way too fast, you don't understand a word that you're reading, and you're making a terrible mistake by learning this way. So we said, no, we feel like we understand it pretty well. So he said, you don't even understand the first Rashi on the Masechta. So I said, what are you talking about? He said, look at the first Rashi. The first Rashi on the Masechta said, Mefarish B'Gemara. That's what Rashi said, or come on, Mefarish, something like that. So I said, oh, nah, that's an easy one. That means the Gemara is going to explain it later on. And why would he tell me that I don't understand that Rashi? So he said, no, he taught me that Yisod. He said, Rashi only says, Mefarish B'Gemara, I mean, I didn't listen to anything else, he said, but that Yisod I listened to. We continued to learn fast, but that Yisod we listened to. That Rashi is only going to say, Mefarish B'Gemara, if there's a problem with the Mishnah. He said, what's the problem with the reading of this Mishnah? That Rashi would feel the need to say, Mefarish B'Gemara. So you see, you don't even understand Pshat and Rashi. Okay, so it was a good point, it was a good kasha, but we still had 20 blood under our belt. All right, anyway, so the but that's the idea. Hayecha gadol vechad katan. If one of the shvarim was large, was a big one, and one of them was a small one, hanizik omer gadol hizik va'mazik omer loki el katan hizik. So the nizik says, oh, it's your big shard that must have hurt my shard. The mazik says, no, it's my small shard. What difference does it make? Because if you're dealing with a shard tam only pays megufo. So you're never going to have to pay more than the value of the shard that's mazik. So from the mazik's perspective, it's in his best interest to say it was his little shard that did the damage, so then he would never have to pay more than the value of the little shard. From the nizik's perspective, it's obviously in his best interest to say that it was the larger shard that did the damage.
Depending on how the Gemara explains what he said.
Well,
they both belong to him.
Oh, no, but... right, it's probably going to have something to do with that. Echa tam vechad muad, hanizik gomer muad hizik, famazik gomer lo kiel atam hizik. If one of them is a tam and one of them is a muad, and the nizik says that it was the muad that did the damage, and obviously in his best interest to get nezik shalim, if it's a muad, he's going to get the full damages, and the mazik says, famazik gomer lo kiel atam hizik, it's only the tam that did the damage, and therefore I only owe you chatsi nezik. You got to prove it if you want more than chatzi nezek. If two shvarim got hurt, one large, one small, and two shvarim did the hurting, one large, one small, but we don't know which one hurt which. So the nizik says the large shvar hurt the large one and the small one and the small one. That the katan hurt the gadol hurt the katan. Meaning, obviously, that would minimize his payment, because if the katan hurt the gadol, he's only going to have to pay migufo as much as his katan is worth. The gadol hurting the katan, he's not going to have to pay more than the nizik's katan, because that was the damage that was done. So it's in his best interest to say that it was uneven matched fights. For instance, one of them is a tam, one of them is a muad. Hanizik or muad hizik is a gadol, the tam is a katan. That the muad was mazik the gadol, the nizik says, and therefore you owe me nezik shalin for the big one, and the tam damaged the katan, and therefore you only owe me chati nezik for the small one. But the mazik says, no, v'mazik amaloki, el tam is a gadol, muad is a katan. The tam damaged the gadol, the muad damaged the katan. So amotzi mechaver alav harayah. So in all these cases, we're going to apply the same din. Amotzi mechaver alav harayah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya Baraba, Zos Ameres Chalukim alav chaver val sumchus. We see over here that there are tanoim that argue on sumchus. Tam ramna mutlus avicholkin. Because sumchus always says that when you're not sure what to do with money, when you have money that there's an argument about that's besafek, you always divide the money. It's always ramna mutlus avicholkin. Now says Tosos, wait a second, always? Whenever two guys come to Bezim, we're not sure what to do, and we have no evidence, we automatically say Cholkin. Says no, it's Dafka B'chei Gavna, where we know that there's a suffix before anyone even opens up their mouth, before anyone even says a Taina. For instance, if you see that, in this case, you see that there's a damaged shar, so you know that someone damaged that shard. So you know that there's something to deal with over here. Otherwise, Tos says, if you're not talking about cases that are limited to that, where you see that there's some sort of issue, any guy could just come over to some other guy and say, oh, nice jacket, it's mine. And he says it's his, and the other one's going to say, no, what are you talking about? It's mine. They're both with the Tainas Bari. So automatically, I'll force you to split the money, split the value of your jacket, and take it. That's ridiculous. It would be absurd, right? That's what Tos says. He says it can't be that way, because atuim amar adam lechaveru talazu shatalavush shalihu. And if a person goes over to his friend and says, this talus that you're wearing is mine, miyomer sumchus cholkim. You think sumchus is going to say cholkim? No, it has to be a case where it's evident from from what's going on that there's some sort of issue over here. But anyway, it's that either way, it seems that Sumchus is against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah kept on saying Motzi Mechaver Lavaraya. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamla Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Sumchus Afilu Bari U Bari. So he says, well, does Sumchus hold Cholkin even when both people are coming with the Tainas Bari? Meaning, in our Mishnah, each guy is coming with Tainas Bari in the Chari. Each one is claiming that they know for sure what happened. So Amar Layin, he says, yeah, Sumchus holds even when both guys are coming. Amar Sumchus Afilu Bari U Bari. Sumchus holds even when it's a Tainas Bari. When each guy is coming with a Tainas Bari, still Mamna Mutu B'Safik is going to be Cholkin. How do we know our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's a bari ubari, which was clearly the assumption of the last couple of lines? The Ketani, Zel Mesharcha is the Gzel Maloki, because how did the Mishnah phrase it? One guy says, you're shar damaged. The other one says, Loki, not so. So what do you mean, not so? Not so means, I'm sure that it's not so. So that phrase, Loki, implies that it's a tainas bari. It's a little bit difficult, because if you learn some of the Mishnayos and Ksubas, it sounds like the phrase Loki is used when they argue about, the Chasan and Kala argue about when she became a Ba'ula, right? So it's Misha Rastani Nenas, the Achlo Rasticha, right? So you also have the phrase Loki, and there's no way the husband could know in those cases. Those are the Mishnayos of Bari Vishema. But anyway, but the Gemara assumes that the phrase Loki is a Tainas Bari. So Maskar of Papa, Mide Reisha Bari Ubari, Seifanami Bari Ubari. He says, wait a second. If you're going to say that the Reisha is talking about a case of Bari Ubari, the Seifa must also be talking about a case of Bari Ubari. Ema Seifa, Haya Echa Gadol Vecha Kata, Nizu Gamar Gadol Hizik, Umazu Gamar Loki Ela Katan Hizik. Right, that the Nizik says your larger shard damaged my shard. The Mazik says no, only my smaller shard damaged your shard. Echatam vechon muad, or one was a tam, one was muad. Nizik omer muad hizik, v'mazik omer loki el tam hizik. The Nizik says your muad damaged my shard, and therefore you owe me nezik shal. And the Mazik says no, my tam damaged your shard, therefore I only owe you chati nezik. Hamotzi mechaver alav raya. We say hamotzi mechaver alav raya. You can't compare anything without a raya. What does that imply? What if he doesn't bring a raya? You, the Nizik, want to get paid Nezik Shalom because you say it was the Mu'ah that damaged. So if you want to get paid Nezik Shalom, bring a Raya. And if you don't bring a Raya, then what? So Haloma I see Raya, Shakil Kadam Mazik. It implies if you don't bring a Raya, then you'll get Chati Nezik. Because the Mazik himself admits that it's Tam did the damage. So you're going to get Chati Nezik. But name it Avi Tiyufta Rabbi Nasan. But if that's the case, then that should be a Tiyufta on Rabbi Bar Nasan, who said, Damar Tanu Chitim Adal Besorim Pater, who says that if I claim something and you are Modet to something else, right, I claim that you owe me Chitim, and you claim that you owe me Sorin, you are Modet, that you owe me Sorin, you're Pater even from paying me Sorin. Because when I say that you owe me Chitim, it's Ki'ilu, I'm saying, you owe me Chitim, but you do not owe me Sorin. So by me saying that, you can admit all you want. You're not going to have to pay it because I was already moda that you don't owe it to me. So over here as well, if I say that it was your mu'ah that damaged my shard, I'm also saying at the same time, your tam is not the one that damaged my shard. So you're not going to have to pay me. You shouldn't have to pay me for the tam because you shouldn't have to pay me chati nezek for your tam damaging my shard because I admitted that your tam didn't do it. I said it was your mu'ah that did it. So we should say that you should pay nothing. Not that you pay chatzi nezek. If I can't prove that it was your mu'ad, you should be off the hook entirely. So if everyone's coming with the tainas bari. So says Gemara, no, it must be that everyone's not coming with the tainas bari. El bari v'shema. It must be there's a bari v'shema in our Mishnah. Dekamar bari man. So says Gemara, wait a second. Dekamar bari man, dekamar shema man. Who's the bari? Who's the shema in our Mishnah? How does this make it any better? Enim it dekamar nizik bari. If the nizik says, I'm sure it was your mu'ad, dekamar mazik shema, the mazik says, how do you know? Maybe it was my tam. Akati le mitavi tiyufta drab barnasin. Then it should still be kashan rab barnasin. Because the nizik said, I'm sure it was your mu'ad, and therefore you're not going to have to pay me for your tam. Ela dekamar nizik shem, must be the nizik says maybe it was your mu'ad, meaning I don't know for sure that it wasn't your tam, so I'm not letting you off the hook if it was your tam, but I think maybe it was your mu'ad, maybe you have to pay me nizik shalim. Dekamar mazik bari, and the mazik says no, I'm sure it was my tam that did it. Umi desefa nizik shem mazik bari, reishanami nizik shem mazik bari. So if that case is talking about where the nizik was a shema and the mazik was a bari, so all the cases should be talking about where the nizik was a shema and the mazik was a bari. V'amr sumchus afilu baha. So Sumchus would say that. So apparently Sumchus would say that even in such a case, Mamun Mutl B'Safik is Chalkin, and that's why the Mishnah has to tell me that we don't hold like Sumchus, and then we say Amotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. But apparently Sumchus is not only in a Bari Ubari case; he's even in a Bari Ushema case. Says Mar Lo. Seifa Nizik Shema Umazik Bari, Reisha Nizik Bari Umazik Shema. The Seifa is talking about a case where the Nizik is a Shema, the Mazik is a Bari. The Reisha is talking about where the Nizik is a Bari, the Mazik is a Shema. V'alo Damya Reisha L'Seifa. Frankly, but then the Reisha and the Seifa don't parallel each other. Sa Amri Bari V'Shema V'Shema V'Bari Chad Milsihi. When you say Bari V'Shema, one case is a Bari V'Shema where the Nizik is a Bari and the Mazik is a Shema, and the other one is reversed. That's similar enough. That's okay. That's not a problem. That's not an inconsistency in the Mishnah. The problem we had before was in saying that the Reisha is a case of Bari Ubari, and then we switched to a case of Bari Ushema. Because Bari versus Bari Yosheva are two totally different cases. That's where Rav Papa had a problem, right? That's where Rav Papa started attacking. He says, wait a second, that's where we had Maskevla Rav Papa back, way back on the, like, 10, 15 lines before they get wide. First one line, Maskevla Papa, Midereisha Bari Bari, Seifa Nami Bari Bari. And he started asking that the Seifa can't be Bari Bari. That's where he says that it's a problem. Because if you're going to say that one case is Bari Bari, you can't then switch and say another case is Bari Yosheva. So that's where he says, Bari, Amri Bari, Bari Vishem Vishem Bari Chan Milsi, but Bari Ubari, Shema Ubari, Tre Milininhu. A Bari Ubari in the Resha, and then a Shema Ubari in the Seifa, those are too far apart from each other to possibly be consistent within the Mishnah. So that's why Rav Papa has a different approach to the Mishnah, where everything is a case of Bari Vishem. Okay, we'll pick up on those two dots tomorrow, Mitzvah.